Well, let's get started. We'll start with prayer. Dear Lord God, we're here this day to worship you, and we want to tell you that we love you. We thank you so much for bringing us together here and allowing us to hear from you. As we read from your word, Father, I just ask that you would touch us with your Holy Spirit. Let us understand what you have to say to us. And as always, I want it to be something that we can use in the days and years to come, where it can encourage us and strengthen us and help us just walk closer with you and want to walk closer with you. Thank you for the beautiful day. In Jesus' name, amen. Last time I was at Kingsville, I read the same scripture, and I want to read it again. It's out of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verse 1 through 8. It says, "There's a time for everything, a season for every activity under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance." You're making notes on these, right? "A time to scatter stones, and a time to gather them, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain, a time to search, and a time to give up, a time to keep, and a time to throw away, a time to tear, and a time to mend, a time to be silent, and a time to speak, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time for war, and a time for peace." Now, if you were listening to those real close, you notice there's a time for everything under the sun. I mean, this is exactly what, as the scripture says it. And it specifically lists a whole bunch of things. But you notice the one big thing that most of us do constantly, it wasn't on there. Nowhere in those 8 verses did I read there's a time to worry. We all worry. I'm real good at it. Ask my wife. She'll be glad to tell you. But nowhere in there it says that we should worry. So what should we do? Well, let's read some scriptures. It says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life?" You know, there's things that we should try to control, but there's a lot of things that we can't control, but we still worry about them. I know I do. I have a real bad habit with that. I like to worry about things, it seems like. But the Bible's real specific that we don't need to worry. You know, the thing I used to be the worst at is finances. Man, I had to have a budget for 3, 4, 5 months down the road, and it was all laid out dollar for dollar. And if anything was wrong with it, I'd drive myself crazy and stuff. And, well, the budget's still there, but it's not near as long as it used to be. It's more of an overview now. And I just look 2, 3 weeks ahead. Now, to some people, that's probably crazy, but to me, it's like, okay, I'm going to leave room for God to help and make things work. And he always does. But there's a lot of things. I mean, you worry about your kids. Now, you need to make sure they're doing the right thing and going the right places, but you got to draw the line and leave room for God to do his thing. There's only so much you can do with it. Now, it says, I'll just repeat it. "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? I don't think any of us can add any. Actually, if you look at what the doctors will tell you, people that worry all the time won't live near as long as the people that don't worry. So that right there would be enough reason to try not to worry. I mean, everybody wants to live forever, which those of us that have Jesus will live forever. But we want to live here on this earth for quite a while yet, too. And I mean, I'm not ready to go home and be with Jesus. If I go home and be with Jesus, who's going to come here and talk to you guys? So even kind of like what Paul said, you know, in his scripture, he said, you know, it's better for me to be with Jesus, but I got work to do here. That's paraphrased, obviously. And that's kind of the way I feel about it. And something my wife pointed out one time, you know, if Jesus were to come back today, how many of your friends wouldn't make it? There's a lot of friends that we still want to talk to and hope they receive Jesus. So let's hope he stays gone for a little bit yet to give them the opportunity to come to know him. That's kind of a bunny trail off to worrying. But we can worry about that too. I mean, that's something to worry about. We can worry about our friends. But even that is not something that we should worry about. The Holy Spirit draws people. All it is, our job is to tell people about Jesus. But the Holy Spirit actually draws them. So even that is something we shouldn't really worry about. Well, let's go on. I want to read a little bit more. And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Well, he's always clothed me. Now, I'm not sure he'll always buy me designer clothes. You know, I may not have the latest from the Gap or all that neat stuff. It may be some rustlers from Walmart. And it may even be something I got to get the cheap place. The thrift store. There we go. I needed help. Couldn't get the word. It might be something I got to buy at the thrift store. But I've got clothes. And if that don't work, there's pantries where they give clothes away. God will make sure that I got clothes. But you know, a lot of us, and you hear this all the time, so it's going to sound just like everybody else, but God provides our needs, not our wants. And that's really, truly what he does. So I'll read some more. It says, so do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. I mean, all the non-believers, the majority of them, they're running after stuff. A lot of us believers are so worried about money that that's all we do. We worry about it constantly. You know, gotta have more. I was listening to a radio show there a couple days ago, and they had quotes from a whole bunch of different millionaires that were leading a miserable life. Because you always hear that, you know, money doesn't make you happy. Well, if money is your focus, if that's the only focus, it doesn't make you happy. Now, can you have millions of dollars and be happy? Oh, heck yeah, I think you can. If the right God is God. If God is your God and money is just something that you have, I think you could have millions easy. But the majority of the people that that are millionaires, or I shouldn't say the majority because I don't know that, but a lot of people that are millionaires, they have no clue about God. They could care less. All they worry about is their money. So they're totally miserable. But I want to read another one. Because, you know, we always say, you know, don't worry, don't do this, don't do that. But a lot of that stuff, you know, like I said, I struggle with worry a little bit. So, you know, that really, I'm preaching at myself. You know, it's like I say, you're pointing at somebody, you got three pointing back at you. I'm always preaching to myself more than you guys. But how can we succeed at that? How can we succeed at not worrying? And I want to read a scripture. It says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own." Or live in today. Don't worry about tomorrow. Yeah, I used to, talking about schedules, I'm a project manager for an electrical company. And needless to say, I got scheduled projects. Well, it's always feast or famine. You either have almost no work where the guy's at home, or you have so much work you can't keep, you can't do it all. So you got these schedules you got to make. And it's like, okay, well, I got to plan this and plan it. And it's the same thing as what I was talking about with finances. You get to planning so far ahead, you just drive yourself insane. You got to have a guideline, but don't make it like, man, this is it. This is the only way this is going to work. Just plug it in, let God do the rest, because he will do it. I know, half the time when we look at our work schedule, there's usually two or three jobs that I don't know how we're going to get them done. they don't fit. So you do the ones you can, and you don't worry about the other ones. It always seems to work out. It's amazing that way, isn't it? But that's because we truly try to keep God even in that part of it. We try to plug God into our whole life. And that's why it says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all the things that have to happen in your life, they will happen. He will make sure of it. So I want to read verse 35. Let's go on here. This is out of when Joseph was in Egypt. They had 7 years of famine. And then, 7 years of real good crops, and then 7 years of famine. And the point I want to try to make with this scripture is, you can't just throw everything out and just not worry about, and not plan ahead. You do have to plan ahead. What I'm talking about here is not, I'm just going to not worry about nothing. I'll spend all my paycheck today and God will take care of me tomorrow, because I got the feeling you'll stumble and fall. But like in Egypt, here's what God told them. They should collect all the food of these good years that are coming and store up the grain under the authority of Pharaoh, to be kept in the cities for food. This food should be held in reserve for the country, to be used during the 7 years of famine that will come upon Egypt, so that the country may not be ruined by the famine. And that was instructions to the Pharaoh from God. So in other words, God didn't say, don't make any plans at all, just don't worry about anything. Because that doesn't work either. We do have to plan, we just can't worry about it. And then the final scripture I want to read is, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." So does this last scripture contradict what we were saying? No, it doesn't. What it does, it puts the focus on God, like in that scripture I read earlier where it says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God." Seeking God and doing things for God builds up treasures in heaven. It's not a monetary thing. It's not a money thing. It's not a half thing. But if we have our focus right, and if we focus on God with everything, and it doesn't just apply to worry, it applies to a whole bunch of things, If you're struggling with something, if you're sick, you can apply it in a lot of different things in your life. If your focus is on God, it makes the other things smaller, and it makes it easier to deal with. If you're constantly, say, you got a problem with drinking, if you're going around all day long going, "Man, I got trouble with drinking. You'll always, that'll be in the foreground of your mind. You'll never get rid of it. But if you focus your mind on God and start studying the Word and putting your focus on it, you're not going to think about the drinking near as much. Or motocross, you know, there's a good example. While you're out there riding motocross, how many of you think about something other than motocross? Now, maybe some of the pros do, but I sure don't. I ain't got time to be worried about anything else. My hands are full. So that's where my focus is at that point. And that's the same thing with worry and struggles. If we focus on God, and that's where our main focus is, we don't have time to worry about the rest of the stuff. And with that, I'd like to close. Let's pray. Dear Lord, you make it so simple, but we make it so hard. Because most of us don't get plugged into you as much as we should be. We don't draw as close to you as we should. You know, a lot of people make you a 1 hour a week thing. You know, maybe 2 hours a week. And the rest of the time, they just live their lives just the way they feel fit. It's a proven fact that people that focus on you live better. They may not be scientifically proven, but I know examples. There's plenty of friends and people that I've talked to. When the focus is in the right place, things go better. And you don't have time to worry. You don't have time to stress. And that's what we all want. So, Father, I ask right now, if there's people here, especially in this economy where everything is so tough, if there are people here that are worrying today, Lord, I ask that you draw them and first let them focus on you. Make that their focal point to where the other things will start becoming smaller and smaller, and then point out to them how they need to get through it, that they can do the planning they need to do and help them through so they can go to bed at night and sleep instead of laying up and worrying all night. Father, we just thank you for that. Lord, and if anybody's here that doesn't know Jesus at this time, that hasn't received Jesus as their Savior, Lord, if you're knocking at their heart, I ask that you would give them the courage to make a decision for Jesus. If they need to know what that means, have them come see me throughout the day that I can talk to them and pray with them. We thank you so much. Father, as we get ready to race, we thank you for an awesome day, a beautiful track. Let us all have a good time. And as always, do it for your glory and not ours. In Jesus' name, amen.